Sam. Aren't you glad you can lift your hand and praise to Jesus? Amen. Not that we can do anything, but he did everything for us and gave us the ability to sing praises to his name and just tell people about him. Amen. Esther chapter number four, verse number 10 through 17, and we'll be reading there. If you're not sure where Esther is, go to Psalms, probably in the middle of your Bible there, and go back two books and you'll be there. Amen. Esther, Job, Psalms. All right, so find Job, Psalms, Job. Go back one more book. You're right there. Esther, chapter number 4. We'll start in verse number 10 and read all the way to the end of the chapter this morning. Esther, chapter number 4, verse number 10. And if you're able to, and out of a respect of God's word, if you would please stand as we read verses 10 through 17 this morning of Esther, chapter number 4. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Also, I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Lord, we do love you, and we do thank you that it's through your blood that we're even here today, praising your name, singing songs, and lifting up your name. Father, you are worthy. Thank you that we can see in your word that you worked in the life of Mordecai and Esther. Pray that you please speak to Pastor Becker's heart and fill him with your Holy Spirit power. I pray that we would be spirit-filled listeners this morning. If there's one here that needs Christ today, I pray that they would trust him today. Father, I do pray that you please be with us. Help us. We love you. We thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Keep your Bibles open to the book of Esther chapter 4, if you would, please. And as we do ask, if you would help out and silence your phone. And maybe if you want to silence your neighbor's phone next to you too, that would be a help if they have a problem with that. Like, just give it to me, I'll help you with that. But that would be a help for the service. And if you help out, if you have to leave medically reasons, that's okay. Otherwise, just hang out in your seat and try not to be a distraction to others. The worst place to sit in church is in the back because you see all the distractions. But help out with that. We'll be here that long of a service here. But in Esther chapter 4, I want to look at this passage here. Very familiar passage and very powerful phrase and question that was asked. And as you maybe know the background to the story, that Esther is a Jew and she's in a foreign land, and the king is Ahasuerus, a wicked king. And in chapter 1, he presents this party and has a big wicked party, and at some point decides he wants to bring his beautiful queen to parade her in front of all of the people. And she was a godly woman to the point at least of saying, I'm not going to do that, and said, "No, I'm not going." And he got mad, and his friends, and kind of paraphrasing a bit of the story here, and she refused to go. And they said, "Well, you know, are we going to let all the women act like this now? Well, if she's trying to live right and godly and holy, then praise the Lord for that." And so Ahasuerus, and he set up this plan to find a new queen. He said, "I'm going to get rid of her and get a new queen." And And he sets up this plan to have all the women come together, and they're going to kind of have this beauty pageant, and after a year present themselves before king, and he's going to choose one of them to be the queen. Kind of a similar type of scenario with Daniel, but Esther, she did not ask for much, and she was presented before the king, and she was more beautiful than all the others, and she was chosen to be the next queen. She was a Jew. Through the process of time, we see that there's a wicked man named Haman. And Haman, this wicked man, others would bow before him, but Mordecai wouldn't bow, and it angered him. It angered him that Mordecai wouldn't bow, but Mordecai believed in God. And he said, I'm not bowing to anyone but the God of heaven. And Haman got upset, and he went to the king and said, King, he said, I want you to make a decree that we have all the Jews killed. What a wicked decree. What a wicked decree. And he signed it in decree by the king's rule, and they're going to have all the Christians to be killed. And we see there's a wicked king, and there's an evil plan. The evil plan of Haman, and he wants to have the Jews killed, and he also wants to have Mordecai killed for not bowing to him. He was a threat to his beliefs and to who he was. But then we see here that there was a couple people that were bold as Christians. They were bold, and we see a couple here that is Mordecai and Esther. They're cousins, and Mordecai comes to Esther and says, you hear the plan that the Jews are going to be killed, and he said, I need you to go speak to the king, to King Ahasuerus. But if King Ahasuerus didn't call you in, she could be killed. And he said, Esther, don't forget this. You're not above the punishment, the wickedness that's going to be poured out on all the Jews. Don't think it couldn't come to your house as well. And he made this incredible statement or question. And I want you to look at that at the end of verse number 14. You know the phrase, I'm sure. But the last phrase after the colon, it says, and who knoweth whether there are come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And she said, would you fast and would you pray for me? And she said, I will go to the king. And she said this in the next verse, if I perish, I perish. But she said, I'll perish if I'm dying to know that I'm standing for what's right. This week was a very powerful week in our country. We were on the eve of the 24th anniversary of the attack of terrorists on our country. Anyone over 30 years old or so, maybe younger than that, would remember 24-year anniversary of the attack on our country of terrorists, of people that hate God. Make no doubt about it. The reason the attack on our country, because they hate God. They hate Christians and everything that America stands for. And about 2,500 people were innocently killed that day. On the eve of that attack was another terrible attack on our country. And I got home that day and hear the news of a shooting and didn't know much of it, as many of you did, but I believe in many ways it shook our country. It shook our country in a powerful way. Why? I don't know if that's the same with you as it is with me, but it really hit me hard in the sense of knowing this, that there was a man that was a Christian that stood for his beliefs. Not an independent fundamental Baptist, but I believe has a very strong testimony of salvation, that boldly proclaimed his faith, that loved God, loved people. He believed in reaching the next generation. He went to college campuses, and Charlie Kirk would go there, and he would debate, and he would give the truth, and he would try to point people to the Lord and speaking and thinking for what was right. And as you know, a young man that was, don't know all the details, don't get caught up on all the hearsay stuff that you have no idea what actually did or didn't happen, but of the reports that we do know, but a young man that very clearly hated God and the teachings of God, right? That was an attack on our faith. Make no doubt about it. That's an attack on our faith. I think about that as a preacher. I'm a man of God, that I strive to be a man of God and to preach the Word of God with boldness, with courage, with conviction, trying to reach the next generation. That affected me as a pastor. It affected me as a husband. that a man was killed that wouldn't go home that day. A young husband, 31 years old, and then as a father. It affected me in a few ways that I didn't realize it would, and also as an American. And I believe in all those ways are things that resonate with me. Those are the beliefs that I have. That's what I live my life for, that I would live or die for the cause of Christ. I truly mean that. And as there was an attack on one man, there was really an attack on many others today. Because this was one person that made the attack. And again, I don't know all the hearsay and all the stuff. I'm not here to give you my political speech or the background of that. But there is very clearly an attack on our faith and our country today. Very clearly. People don't want Christians to be quiet. Don't preach. There's not free speech in our country unless if it's free speech for the liberal, wicked, left-wing agenda. There's no free speech when speaking for God, speaking the truth, and standing for what's right. Our country does not want that free speech today, but we still do have that freedom today in our country, and we better not give it away. We better not give it away. I believe that this week many were challenged even more to live for God. I believe that resonated very clearly. I did not realize I was not a huge follower. I watched a number of the videos that I'm sure many of you had, and debates and different things of that nature. And I had watched a number of those in the past, and to be honest, many more of those in the recent days. But it's challenged and encouraged another generation to stand up for God and for their beliefs and what's right. I believe that the message that was preached and taught for faith and right and being an American and living for God has been flamed in such a bigger sense that the other side does not realize how big it's gotten, not just in our country, but around the world. It's encouraged others to stand up for truth and right, to speak up for their beliefs. On the other side, sadly, there's others that are cheering and celebrating the death of a young man. What a sad place in our country. What a sad place that we would celebrate the death of someone that did not believe as we did, that had no violence or hatred or anger or evil message to preach to this world, and that someone would take that life, and that others would celebrate all around our country and even where we live. What a disgrace. How sad is that? I want to give you a few introductory thoughts. I don't usually preach a political type of message or a message about current events, but it just weighed heavy on my heart. For such a time as this, in this time, in this day, in this age that we live in, that we have real Christians that stand up for God. What not to do? This is not a time to get even. This is not a time to make evil threats or evil remarks on either side. This is not a time for violence. Both sides are guilty of both of those. Before you forget, both sides are guilty of the same type of remarks. We better be careful of that before we always blame and never take responsibility for what we say. I can't speak for others, but for myself, we must be careful on those areas, what not to do. Not a time to hide and be quiet, though, either. It's not a time as a Christian to be quiet and to hide from our faith. It's not a time to live in fear. It's not a time to give in to the wicked either. We must be careful Christians that we don't quiet our message and our faith because of the anger or the violence from the other direction. As Mordecai asked the question to Esther, he says, "Who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who would know that Esther would be placed right where she was for such a time as this? I wonder who that could be. Well, that would be God, wouldn't it? That would be God. See, God's hand was upon her life and upon this country and their people, but God needed an Esther and God needed a Mordecai to stand up for what is right and for the truth, and that God wanted to use them to speak up for God. God's hand was here, but he needed people to stand up and to speak up for the truth. And God needs the same today in our country and our city and where you live and where you work to speak up for the truth and what is right. In the book of Esther, you don't see the name of God in the whole book, but you see the hand of God all through the book of Esther. You see God's hand mightily through this book, and how who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I want to preach a message for a few moments. This is the time. This is the time. I think many times we think, well, another event is going to wake up Christianity. Another event is going to wake up Americans. Another event is going to wake up our churches. How many events do we need to happen till we get serious about our faith and serious for our God and standing up for the truth? What are we waiting for to stand up for God? Mordecai came to her and he said, if you don't speak up, not only are others not going to live, but neither are you as well. Don't think that you're above the same judgment and the same end of destruction if you don't stand up for the Lord. And finally, through the challenge of her cousin by Mordecai, and Esther said, I'm going to go before the king. I want you to fast and pray for 3 days. And she said, if I perish, I perish. God's hand, we're not going to go through the rest of the story. God preserves the Jews and the gallows that Haman built for Mordecai. He would be hanged on himself. Justice and vengeance is the Lord's. Don't forget that. Justice and vengeance is the Lord's. This is the time. This is the time, Christian. Young people, this is one thing that's incredible about a man that reached generations from the young people in this room. Almost anyone that has a phone on social media in some way have been affected by a Christian that stood up for their faith from the young to the old and even around the world in many ways. This is a time to stand up for the truth, for what we believe is right by the Word of God. As Christians, what are we waiting for to get serious about our faith? As Christians, what are we waiting for to get serious about truly and wholly following the Lord? Too many times we sit by and think, well, what could I do? What could I have done? And we pass the blame. It's easier to pass the blame than to take responsibility. Of the mass shootings in the last 5 years, we'll go to the 10 years before that. The 10 years before that, from 2010 to 2020 or 2019, the average age of mass shooters was 29 years old. In the last 5 years, it's now 22. We are not reaching the next generation. We can blame others. We are not reaching the next generation. It breaks my heart to think of the parents of the killer. They're conservative people. They were Mormon. But to think that that was your own child, that would be gut-wrenching. That would be tough. And I believe they taught him better than that. Not the same truth and not the gospel, of course, but tried to teach him better than that. But we're missing something today in our country. Aren't we? We can pass the blame to others. We can keep passing the blame while America keeps going the wrong direction, or we can take responsibility and stand up for right and make a difference in the community where we live. We're failing to reach the next generation. God has you here for such a time as this. This is the time. Revival, we must pray for revival to come to our country. We must pray and we must seek, and not just as a lip service to pray for revival, but to pray and to follow the Lord and seeking revival in our lives. This is the time. You think, well, it didn't happen in my backyard yet. You know that, right? It didn't happen in our backyard yet. We keep things safe and we're watching and we every safety measure you can, but we better do something before it's too late. This is the time. This is the place. God has you here for such a time as this. Shasta Baptist Church is a light and a gospel in a dark world here in Redding, California as well. We must make a difference where we are in this place. You say, well, that was in Utah or that was in another state. There was a shooting the same day in Colorado. This is your time. This is your place. This is your opportunity to stand up for God. Our God has been kicked out of our schools for decades now. Is it a surprise where the younger generations are going? God has been kicked out. The Bible's been kicked out. Prayer has been kicked out. So no wonder we're going against God. We're raising generations of atheists. Truly, that's what our country is raising, generations of atheists that don't believe in God. And of course, don't have the morals and the beliefs that come from the Word of God. Why would it be any different? Our country promotes wickedness and immorality, and we stand by, what do? Christian, today it's time to make a difference where you are. It's time to make a difference. And not passing off to someone else another time, another day. You know, that's somewhere, no, that's here and that's now. We must make a difference where we are. Not later, like today, we must make a difference. I'm thankful for an Esther that she made a difference. One person made a difference. I'm thankful for a Daniel in the Bible that made a difference. I'm thankful for a Joseph that made a difference. I'm thankful for a Moses that made a difference. We could go on and on and on. Why not you make a difference, young person? Why not you make a difference where you are? What about you, mom and dad and grandparent? What about you? Why don't you make a difference where you are? We so much want to blend in and just kind of go along with the flow. We're supposed to be salt and light in this world and make a difference where we are for right. Hey, there's a difference made by the other side as well. There's a difference on the other side. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world. My fight is not against other people. It's against Satan. It's against the devil, the prince and the power of the air that wants wickedness to prevail. He doesn't want people in heaven. He doesn't want people getting saved. He doesn't want anyone in church and living right. He wants to blind the mind and the eyes of people today away from God. We must make a difference. Christian, are you making a difference where you are? Not someone else, you. Are you making a difference where you are? It's time to make a difference. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. And not saying a casual prayer, a 5-cent prayer that you kind of, you know, leave a little tip, but it's time to pray. It's time to get on our knees and pray for our country. And say, God, would you turn our hearts back to you? Would you get a hold of our country, our leaders, our government, our federal, our state? Would you pray for our country? This is America. This is where we live. I still believe with all my heart it's the greatest country in all the world. And those that don't like it are welcome to leave it. Right? I love that everyone, you know, it's not the greatest country in the world. Well, then what country is? Why don't you go there? Yeah, exactly. It's time to make a difference. It's time to pray. Would you pray for our country? Would you seriously dedicate time to pray for our country? Pray for our leaders. Pray for our church. Pray for the people. Pray. Take time to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Would you pray? Prayer makes a difference. It truly does. If you get on your knees and pray, if we pray more than we spend time on social media, we'd really make a difference. You're not going to argue one into your opinions on social media. It's not going to happen. Stop wasting your time and theirs. Pray. Get on your knees and pray for your family. Pray for your kids. Would you pray? It's time to make a difference. It's time to pray. It's time to preach the gospel. It's time to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too many times we're quiet. Well, you have your faith and I have mine. I'm not forcing my beliefs and faith upon anyone. It's a free choice. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, Lord. You can accept it or receive it. Your choice. But we must go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have the truth. Don't we? We have the truth. We have the life. We have the answer. God help us if we keep quiet when we need to proclaim the truth. It's time to preach the gospel. It's time to share the gospel with people around you, with your family, with your coworkers, your neighbors. Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we really make a difference? Not by storming the Capitol and going to the governor's mansion and all that. Pray for our leaders. I'm not getting involved in politics, all right? You change the country in your home, in your church, and by preaching the gospel everywhere you go. One life at a time, one soul being saved. That's how you change this country. It's time to preach the gospel. It's time to love people. There's so much hate. There's so much violence. There's so much negative in our country today. It's so sad to hear. The commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. To love people. How can we reach the lost if we don't love them? Right? Lost people are going to act like lost people. We need to love them. For God so loved those that were worthy of love. Right? For God so loved those that were doing right and in church. No, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's time to love people. To love people, not accepting of sin, but loving God, loving people, loving the truth. It's time to live holy and separated lives. It's time to live holy and separated lives. Too many Christians want to say that we want to be salt and light, but not actually live that way. We kind of play the part on Sunday, and then we live like the world the rest of the week. That's not going to change our country. That is what's wrong with our country. We can blame politics for where our country is. I believe with all my heart it begins in our homes and in our churches. If we're going to change the country, it starts right here. To live holy and separated lives. Not playing with sin. Not playing with the devil. Not playing with the world. But living holy, separated lives. Godly, spiritual lives separated from the world. It's time to be real Christians. It's time to be real. Sometimes we like the titles. Oh, I go to church. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're in church today. But going to church doesn't make anyone spiritual. Oh, we're obedient. Going to church, praise the Lord. Doesn't make you spiritual because you go to church. One of the biggest harms of the cause of Christ is hypocritical Christianity. You say one thing and you live another way. Just be real. Be real in your faith. Be real in your beliefs. Be real in your love for God. Don't just say it. Live it. Don't just say it, live it. For such a time as this, God put you here to reach your family. God put you here to make a difference in your home. God put you here to make a difference in your workplace, in the city where you live, in the county, in the state, in the country, in this time, for such a time as this. Again, we can pass the blame. We can make excuses. We could be filled with anger and hatred and return just the way that it was sent our direction. Or we can be different. We can be different. The Bible says we should be a peculiar people, called out of the world. Some people should look at you and say, they're different. There's something different about them. I want what they have. To be a real Christian, it's going to set you apart. It's going to set you apart to love God, to love people, to love his word, to preach the gospel, to live real and holy and separated and be what's right for such a time as this. When are we going to get serious about our faith? When are we going to get serious about our God? When are we going to do what we can by God's help to reach this generation with the gospel? That's what makes a difference. Head bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today to make a difference where we are.